It had been a very long day, as many had been, but this one started off in the scripture particularly heartbreaking because of the news that John the Baptist had been executed by Herod. John's disciples had already buried the body, and then they went and they told Jesus. And Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 says, when Jesus heard about what happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. He wanted to get away, but his solitary place didn't stay very solitary for very long at all, because pretty soon the crowds caught on to where he went, and what might have started as a trickle turned out to be thousands of people who had come and intruded on his solitary place, or what he thought was going to be solitary. Well, they got hungry, and as you know the story, he took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he gave thanks, and he fed the 5,000 men, plus the women and the children. And it was immediately after this event that what I'm going to read takes place. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The passage began with Jesus dismissing the crowds whom he had just fed and sending his disciples back across the lake, probably from where he had come from in the first place, so that Jesus could go and find a solitary place again to pray. And in this case, he went up on a mountainside. Previously, he had tried to get away. He went across the lake, and then the crowds came. He fed them. He sent them away. He sent the disciples away back across the lake. And again, he's looking for that solitary place to pray. And while this isn't the main theme of the message, I just have to take a moment to suggest that if Jesus had to take time out of his life and out of all his demands and all of his requirements to take time to pray, even sending people away to do it, what chance do we have to go through our life unless we are deep in prayer? Prayer is such a key factor in our lives. We cannot carry on without it. So much so that I would dare to say that the depth of someone's spiritual health and vitality is directly related to their prayer life. If I was going to ask questions and I wanted to know what a person's prayer, spiritual life was like, if they could answer how deeply they are engaged in prayer, that would probably answer a lot. Well, Jesus eventually had sent the people away and he went to pray, and eventually the prayer time was over. The disciples were already gone. They were already a good distance from the land, and so Jesus wanted to catch up with them. And I just really love how this is laid out in the scripture, because when you are Jesus, you don't need to worry about missing the boat. You can just walk out to it. You know, when I was on a cruise, they gave us the time. They said, the boat is going to leave at this time. If you're not here, you're going to have to find a way to catch up to us later on. And for Jesus, you know, he doesn't have to worry about missing the boat. The boat can leave. In fact, he sent it off on its way. And during the fourth night, during the fourth watch of the night, verse 25 says that Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Walking on the lake. Apparently, this was not something that Jesus did every day, for when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, verse 26, they were terrified. They didn't know who or what it was. They wondered if it was a ghost. They cried out in fear. And yeah, I can understand that, right? I can understand that. And it's dark out there too. And they cry out in fear. And then that's when Jesus said to them the words of comfort that are so important to us today, as it was for the people then. When Jesus said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Oh, those are beautiful words. I think we should print them up nicely and stick them on our refrigerators or on our mirrors or somewhere wherever we need that fresh reminder that we are not alone. Take courage, Jesus says. It is I. Don't be afraid. We looked at that passage, that verse, a few weeks ago, And this morning, I'd like for us to look at what happens next after Jesus said that. Verse 28, Peter calls out, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Now, on the surface, Peter's statement makes no sense at all. It's not logical. It's not even reasonable to suggest it. And to make matters worse, there's high winds, there's miserable waves, the water is rough, there's darkness all around. No one in their right mind would want to step out of a boat, as shaky as that was, and step onto the water. But Peter wanted to know. He wanted to know if that was really Jesus out there. We don't know how close he was. They couldn't see clearly, but they can hear. And while often we give Peter a hard time because he speaks before he thinks, this time I think he was actually thinking rather clearly. This is the logic that I could see in his mind. If it is really Jesus out there, and if Jesus invites me to come out on the water, to walk out on the water, then the fact that I don't fall in should be evidence enough that it really was Jesus out there who I've been talking to. I think that might have been his logic. I don't recommend making it a habit to test Jesus in this way, but Jesus seemed to go along with it. The only response we have from Jesus, the invitation to come. Jesus simply said, come on out. That's it. No explanation, no guarantees of what would happen, no reassurance, no conditions, nothing. Just a simple word. You want to come? Come. And then verse 29, Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water. It's pretty amazing. Okay, just picture that. And came toward Jesus. And then I wonder what Jesus's first steps would have been, what Peter's first steps would have been like. You know, I just wonder, you know, like, did his sandals get wet? You know, like, what happened there? I'm pretty sure they did. It must have been thrilling, but at the same time, it must have been pretty scary. Like, what am I doing out here? If they had cell phones, then you could be sure that one of the other disciples would have posted it on Facebook Live, you know. Hey, guys, you won't believe this. Check this out. And so Peter starts, right? And you know the story. He gets going, and then things begin to unravel. If you ever got that sinking feeling that things are not going to last very long, good things are not going to last, that's what happened to Peter. He feels the wind. He notices the waves stirring around him. Maybe his ankles were getting wet. I don't know. And it's dark out. And maybe, you know, at first he thought this is a great idea. But what seemed like a great idea a few moments ago, all of a sudden, isn't looking like it's such a bright idea. Maybe he's thinking, you know, in a split second, what am I doing out here? Look at those waves. Am I out of my mind? And perhaps logic begins to take over. And as he starts thinking these things, he begins to sink, right? This is not good. So he cries out desperately, Lord, save me. I've shared this story once before with the congregation, but there was one time in my life when I was sinking in a lake. It was at a church camp. I was just a young lad, and I was having fun. I didn't know how to swim, but I was bouncing in the water, you know, bouncing up and seeing how far out I can go from shore as I'm bouncing and you know, that kind of stuff, and testing the limits and that kind of stuff. And somewhere in that lake where I found, rather abruptly, was a drop-off under the lake. And I, all of a sudden, all I know is I was sinking. I was sinking in the lake, and it all happened very fast. I flung my arms around, and I was going down, and almost immediately, it was the strangest thing, and you guys, folks who know me, know that, you know, I don't talk about strange things happening to me all that often, but this was one time in my life when something very strange happened, and I felt like somebody was under me, and I was, next thing I know, I was on somebody's shoulders. You know how when you're kids, you put somebody on their shoulders in the water, and you carry them around and kind of stuff. That's exactly what it felt like. I felt like somebody had swum underneath me and propped me up and brought me in closer to shore. And I never did see that person. I have no idea who it was. I don't remember seeing them after. I was so shaken up by the whole ordeal. I don't know what happened at that point, but it was very strange. And as far as I'm concerned, it was an example of the hand of God. And that was my experience. And I can say from that experience that it would not have been fun to be going down in a lake. And I can just see Peter, the water rushing to him, up him, and as he's going down, we don't know how fast Peter was going down, but I think it was pretty fast because the scripture says in verse 31 that immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You know, it's like, I just picture you know, Lord, save me, poof, and out comes Jesus' arm and catches him. And then Jesus said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And they got back into the boat. The winds calmed down. The disciples, they came to the only obvious conclusion. Verse 33, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Yes. Yes, he was. And he still is for us today, the Son of God. And one of the reasons I'm so drawn to this passage of Scripture, to this event in the Bible, is because it shows the reality of both faith and fear all in one incident. I wish I could say that I was Superman, able to leap tall mountains of faith in a single bound, no matter what came my way. And don't get me wrong, I have absolute faith in the power of God. Absolute faith. Absolute faith in his love, his care, and his faithfulness. There is no doubt in my mind about that. But there are still situations that we find challenging and difficult that we need to go through. Things particularly that we don't always understand. And what I'd like to take note this morning is that while Jesus clearly chastised Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Notice that Jesus didn't throw Peter back into the water after he chastised him. He didn't say, "That's it, buddy. You didn't have enough faith. Go back in. It's Throwback Thursday." Throw you back in. Peter's faith had given way to fear. Faith and fear, while we often think of them as you got to have all of this and none of that, or if you have some of this, that means you have none of that, I'm not so sure. There are times and situations where we struggle, and I'm not so sure that God isn't okay with that at times. There's an event recorded in Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 32. A man with a very troubled son came to Jesus' disciples. The disciples tried to help. They couldn't do much. So the boy was brought to Jesus. Jesus told the father, "Everything is possible for him who believes." And in response, the boy's father said, "I do believe," Mark chapter 9, verse 24, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." There is belief. He believes, but he also has some unbelief. Help me to overcome that part of it. I have faith. I do. I have faith. I have absolute faith. But that doesn't mean that sometimes there isn't some fear in my life as well. Well, I'd like to say that it's never there. But let me also say that there is absolute confidence in the power of God. Absolutely. I have no doubt about that, and I trust and I hope that you don't either. But while there is absolute confidence in the power of God, sometimes there is uncertainty on how God will respond. I don't know how God is going to respond in all circumstances, in all things. Not the details. I know that I can give him thanks in all circumstances, but I don't understand what they're always going to be. I do believe. I have no doubt that God can. I know, God, you can do it. I'm just not always sure when you will or how you will and the process that you will take me through and what experiences I will have along the way. And so those sorts of uncertainties sometimes cause us a little bit of, I wonder what's going to happen. In Mark chapter 9, the story that I referred to, Jesus did restore that boy, much to the father's delight. Just as Jesus did reach out his hand and catch Peter when Peter's faith fumbled. And I guess what I'm trying to get at this morning is this. You don't need to wait until you have everything perfectly lined up before you respond to Jesus, or even before you cry out to him for help. You don't have to wait till you have everything sorted out and figured out in your mind before you say yes to Jesus. You don't have to wait until you absolutely have no more fear before you say, okay, I'll do it your way. You don't have to wait until you've become a spiritual Superman, because that person doesn't exist. If God is calling you to come, and I believe he's always calling us to come, then it's time to respond. It's time to get out. It's time to get out of the boat. And while the water was rough, the boat was still a measure of safety for Peter. And perhaps it's time for us to step out in faith, even if we falter along the way. The fact is that Jesus is calling people to himself. He always has been. Right from when he first called the first disciples and he told them to leave everything and to follow him, all through his ministry and all through history, God has been calling people to him, calling them to serve in different ways, calling them to teach, sending them in different directions, and that hasn't changed. And sometimes we say that, well, I will, but later on, I still need to get this sorted out. I got to get that taken care of. I'm not so sure about this, or maybe I need to grow some more in that. And I wanted to say that if we wait until everything is perfect before we respond to God, we're going to be waiting a long time. It's not going to happen. There is always a call of God in people's lives, and there's a call of God in your life. I'm not sure what it looks like for you, but I know it's there. The question is, will you follow it? Will you step out of your boat? Will you step out in faith? Will you go out and do what others might think is impossible? We might even think it's impossible. And then we need a fresh reminder, as Peter did, Lord, if it's you, tell me. And maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you need to say that to the Lord. If you're uncertain, Lord, if it's you, show me. If it's you, tell me. If it's you, speak to me. We're not always sure. And that's okay. And truthfully, sometimes we don't get the answer until after we step out in faith. I remember the story in Joshua chapter 3. God's people were going to cross the Jordan River. It was during the worst flood time of the year for the river, and they needed to cross. And when you read that story in Joshua chapter 3, you will notice that it wasn't until after God's people stepped into the river that the water stopped flowing and they were able to cross. It didn't stop before they got into it. And they looked at that, okay, it's safe to go across now. Now we can go. while it was still raging and ridiculous, they stepped foot into it. And sometimes, I'm not saying always, and this is where we need to ask the Lord, if it's you, tell me. But sometimes we need to take that step, and we're uncertain, and it looks hazardous, and it looks ridiculous, maybe even. But we pray, and maybe we ask some other godly brothers and sisters in the Lord for their wisdom on it. And we ask the Lord, Lord, show me, reveal yourself to me. And once we do, we cannot let the wind, the chaos, the fears, the uncertainties turn us back. We must keep our eyes on Jesus in order to move forward in faith. But where our faith, if and where our faith falls short, I'm happy to report that God's arm reaches long. The question as we close this morning is this. When was the last time you stepped out of your boat? When was the last time you stepped out in faith? When was the last time you actually went out on a limb? Another way to ask this question, and maybe even more important, is to ask, where would your feet take you if you had absolute, unequivocal faith? Where would your feet take you? Where would the Lord send you? Where would he tell you to come? And maybe it's time for us to take some steps, even if we falter along the way, knowing that God will hold you up. Maybe right now you're feeling you've got that sinking happening in your life. And maybe right now what you're really doing is crying out to Jesus, Lord, save me. Whatever your circumstances, I want to encourage you to carry on and to move forward in faith. God will never, ever, ever let us down. He might not always respond the way we think it would be nice if he did, but he will respond in the way that is best and right and true. And we can have absolute faith in that. So I encourage you once again, don't be afraid to step out. Where is God calling you? How is God speaking to you? Where would he take you if you exercise that kind of faith? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come to you this morning and thank you, Lord, for your word to us this day in Matthew chapter 14. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness to us, even when our faith sometimes wavers and we find ourselves sinking. Lord God, you reach out to us. And I pray, Father God, that you would help each one of us this morning to be men and women and youth of faith, Lord God, that when you call us to come, that we would step out in faith, Lord God. Even if we don't understand, even if it doesn't look good or it's a little risky out there, Lord God, to know that if you are calling us, if it is you, Lord, say the word, and that we would respond in the affirmative, yes, Lord, I will come, I will do, I will be, I will respond. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning or with us online who perhaps right now they've already stepped out in whatever way and they feel like they are sinking and they're sinking fast for whatever reason. Maybe their faith has been shaken. Maybe there's some uncertainty in their life in something. And Lord, I pray that even now they may call out to you, that we can call out to you And Lord God, that you would restore us yet again and lift us and bring us up to the surface. Give us a firm place to stand. And Lord, help us, Father God, to move forward with our eyes fixed on you today and every day. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.